Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Allie on the Run show. I'm your host, Allie Feller, and today on episode 35, I'm talking to legendary choreographer and all-around inspiring woman, Mia Michaels. You probably know Mia from her work on So You Think You Can Dance. Mia is a So You Think OG. She was on the show from the very beginning, both as an esteemed member of the judging panel and as one of the show's boundary-pushing choreographers. Mia was a fan favorite since the beginning. Her contemporary choreography was unlike anything the show and the world had ever seen. And her tough-as-nails, make-no-mistakes attitude made her equal parts feared and idolized. Before she rose to household name fame on So You Think You Can Dance, Mia had to fight to make a name for herself in the dance industry. On this episode, Mia talks about the struggle to break into the industry as a, quote, bigger girl. And she says that when the dance world wouldn't accept her the way she was, she created her own world. Those are words to live by, people. But creating her own world worked. Mia's one of the dance industry's most sought-after choreographers, and she's pretty much done it all, from working with Madonna, which she hated, to choreographing Celine Dion's wildly successful show, A New Day, which, of course, I made her talk about for like 10 minutes. Mia was also hired to rebrand the Radio City Rockettes and direct and choreograph their spring show. She choreographed the Broadway show Finding Neverland. She choreographed the Rock of Ages movie, where she became BFF with Tom Cruise, seriously. And she appeared on screen in Step Up Revolution, which, again, I made her talk about because I love that movie. I know many people tune into this show for all things running, but if you're a dancer or if you want to be a dancer, be sure to check out the newly launched Mia Michaels Live. This is Mia's latest and greatest passion project, and it's basically a monthly subscription service where you get Mia as a choreographer, mentor, and teacher, and there's no doubt she'll blow your mind and change your life, so check it out. I've known and have worked with Mia for years now, and I'm always so inspired by her authenticity, her creativity, and just the fascinating way her brain works. Mia and I recorded this episode in person at her stunning Tribeca apartment where, yes, she has her three Emmy Awards very casually displayed on a shelf in her office. And we were joined by her super spunky English bulldog, Lily. So dog lovers, listen in. You'll hear lots of Lily in the background. And if you're not a dog lover, just roll with it. We spent our hour together talking about everything from Mia's iconic career to how at 50 years old, she finally learned to love her body and found love from someone else in the process. You already know Mia, and you're going to love her even more after this episode. So hit the roads, the trails, the treadmill, or the track, and enjoy my conversation with the magnificent Mia Michaels. So we are here in Manhattan with the amazing Mia Michaels. Welcome to the Allie on the Run show.
Thank you for having me.
So probably most people know who you are, but if there's someone out there who doesn't, we start the Allie on the Run show, like I always say, like a good run, but also like a good dance class, okay, with a warm-up. So warm us up. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Okay. My name is Mia Michaels, and I am a choreographer, director, published writer, designer, dreamer, creator, motivational speaker. I'm all these things right now. I've kind of evolved in this whole beautiful world of what Mia Michaels is now. I live in New York City in Tribeca, and I have this amazing English bulldog. Her name is Lily Pop Michaels, who you will hear throughout this segment. You will hear her snorting
Lily's
and
the
possibly
star of the show.
Even farting. I don't know. So just know that it's not me or Allie. If you hear those sounds, that it's coming from Lily Pop Michaels.
And we'll keep that disclaimer on for life. Anytime you hear anything on this show in the future, even if Mia's not on, we'll blame Lily. So awesome. Well, you have a long list of credentials, of course. So the first time that I met you, I was like a 19-year-old intern at Dance Spirit magazine, and I'm pretty sure my boss was like, go interview Mia Michaels. And I was like shaking in my little like Nine West boots. I was terrified. And of course, you were so nice and great. You said, and I feel like this is a good quote that I always makes me think of you. You said, we are all legends the moment we are born. Do you remember the rest of the quote? What's the rest of the quote?
We are all legends the moment we are born, so why try to be like anybody else? That was the thing, right? It was about celebrating your uniqueness and taking it always, being you, being honestly and authentically you and not trying to be like anybody else because you are a legend the moment you're born.
And I love that and still have it hanging in my office next to your Dance Spirit cover. So let's go back in time because, of course, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about your current life. You've done a lot. Let's go back to little baby Mia was being a choreographer, director, producer, dreamer, all the things you listed. Was that always the plan and the dream?
Yeah, I my mom used to say to me that I just started pushing myself from as early as I could, like, walk. I was crawling in the studio, swinging a bottle and diapers, and I was like in the mix from when I was like 3 years old. My mom said I always pushed myself, that she never had to push me, that I was always very driven from a very young age. And I was always trying to just, I always want, every day, it was weird. And when I think back, it was all about being better. Every day was another chance. Even as a kid, I remember even like just always pushing myself to be better. And I don't know, sometimes that's a blessing and a curse, because I think that sometimes you have to just accept who you are at times and be you know, just good to yourself and pat yourself on the back. That's Lily. and not always be pushing and pushing and pushing, but I've always kind of been that energy in the world, push.
And against yourself or other people or both? Like, were you competitive with other, you know, kids? Because your dad owned a dance studio, correct?
Yes, he did.
So you've always been in the industry.
I'll tell you a really sad story. So I didn't have a lot of friends. Like, I was one of those kids that I was like the weirdo. I was the one, you know, I had bars on my legs early on. I had like deformity. I was the big girl. And so I didn't have a lot of friends. So I used to imagine I had a friend, and her name was Susan, and I used to compete against her, like every single, like I'd be on the swing set and I'd be like going 20, and then she would do like 19 and a half, and I'd be like 25, and it was like, I was already pushing and like with an imaginary friend. Isn't that crazy?
Well, and already you were very imaginative, which I feel like creating. That's a precursor to the whole rest of your life in terms of the creative side.
And it just was like, I was always just creating and dreaming. And even when I was like 10, 11 years old, I was creating shows in the neighborhood. And I would go every Friday, we'd have rehearsal, and I'd go knocking on the doors of the neighbors. I'm like, you know, the kids. And I'd be like, okay, we have rehearsal. And they'd be like, for what? I'm like, we have rehearsal. I'd be yelling at them then. I was already yelling at them then because I was like, you're late for rehearsal. And they were like, oh God, okay.
So 8-year-old Mia just like laying the smack down as everyone just wants to play kickball.
Always. Like, and I just was always on a mission to create something. And when that was done, on to the next creative moment, like in my life. So it was always, what's next? So it's exhausting, but I think important, because I feel like there's a lot that I have to leave behind with my legacy, a lot.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting. I went back in time and I was like, you know, I've interviewed Mia a lot in my career. Let's go look at the different times and the timeline. Every time I interviewed you, my last question, and I'm going to make that my last question again today, is always, what's next, Mia? And you would always have something. And it was, oh, I want to do, one time you were like, I want to work on a Broadway musical. 2 months later, you choreographed Finding Neverland. Then it was like, I want to write a book. Now you've written a book. So like,
yeah.
I think that's amazing that you're always trying to do the next thing, as exhausting as it might be. But you mentioned that you were the bigger girl. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that in terms of being a dancer, because anyone who's been in the dance industry knows that that's a tricky place to be. What was your experience like?
Well, I mean, I was, because I was always a bigger girl, a thicker girl, I was, you know, and I had my dad's studio, so I was training all the time. So I was a really strong dancer. They called me Bam Bam. I was very strong, very, you know, passionate from early on. It was my life. Dance was my life. And as I got older, when I started like auditioning and wanting to get into programs and da da da, I was always being rejected because of my body. And they were always like, you're too fat, or you're a rebel, or you're this, or you're that. But it was mostly about my body. And after so many rejections and doors closing on me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go create my own world of dance. And that is what forced me to become a choreographer. So in a way, I'm very grateful for the, you know, back then I was like, why was I given such a big body? And I struggled with it. I was always on a constant diet. My sister was really tiny and thin. And you know, my parents were models. And so I was just like, wait, what is happening? And I finally made peace with it because I realized that, you know, my calling was to be a creator of movement, at least the first 30 years of my life. You know what I mean? Like, that was my calling. I had to speak to the world through the human body. So I believe that God put me in this body. This is my human earth suit in order to do what I was called to do. You know, cut to now, it's interesting because now I'm beginning to become a body activist for women of size and women just like accepting and loving themselves for who they are and what they look like, not just when they feel good about what they ate or lost a couple pounds here or they're fitting into their tighter jeans. It's like, oh, I feel great about myself. What about the days that you don't feel so great? You know, and it's all about loving yourself because we lose so much precious time in life by not loving ourselves. Like we were like, oh, if I only achieved this, or if I only look like this, or if I only was this, or I had this much money in the bank, all those things, those goals are great, except I found myself not accepting and loving myself as much as I should, just the way I was. And now at 50, I've come into this place where I'm like, I love myself. I love who I am. I love what I look like. I feel like I know myself. I went on this journey last year and really did some self-discovery and really found out who Mia was. Not Mia Michaels, because I knew who Mia Michaels was because I was always in the studio with her. But who is Mia? The person, the woman, the girl, just the regular human. Like, who was she? And I found out that she was really dope. And so, yeah.
Was there like an aha moment where all of a sudden you were like, I love my, like, what was it? You said you went on this journey. So what entailed
was my whole life was about achieving, having success, you know, another notch on my resume, another thing. And I, Lily, after I did Radio City, it was like this job that was pretty massive. And it was something that, it was the first time in my life I did something that was kind of not really possible in 3 months' time. Like, not many people could have done it. And it was like, it changed, like I was doing 20-hour days, 7 days a week. I was unhealthy. I was really overweight. I was exhausted. And then the show was up and there it was, and I was like, and it was successful and people loved it, but I was so like emotionally and physically ill from doing this. And it was like the biggest thing. I finally directed a big show and I'm like, okay, I did it. Wow. Okay. I set out and did everything that I wanted to do. Why am I unhealthy, exhausted, overweight, alone, no relationships, not a lot of friendships, because I've spent my life trying to achieve. And I just really realized that like their life has so much more than just career. And I started giving space to my life for myself. I started giving space to my life for love, for friendships, for just real life. And everything started changing, and I started like working out every day, and I started feeling my body differently, and I started, you know, I fell in love, and I have this amazing relationship with this beautiful, beautiful man that I probably wouldn't have met if I wouldn't have given space to it. You know, my friendships are flourishing, my career is flourishing in a whole new way because I'm doing it out of love. I'm not doing it out of desperation or of obsession to achieve. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing it because I want to inspire the world and I want to be happy. And so there's a big balance in my life right now that I've never had. And so people go like, you look different, you seem different, everything about you is different. It is. everything is different than it was, because I was so intense and harsh and I needed to achieve and it was very intense for me. And I'm still trying to figure out why it was so intense. And I think that that harshness came across on so many levels in my work, in me as a judge on So You Think, because it was just, I was very intense. And because that's how I treated myself. I treated myself like that, so I was treating others like that. And so it was a big aha moment, for sure. So I'm very grateful for Radio City Music Hall for giving me that job that took me down in flames.
And but became a huge success huge in success. So many ways.
But yet I became so such a better human being because of all the lessons I learned.
That's amazing. All right, so let's go back. I love all of that so much, and I'm so happy to hear it, because I do think that probably a lot of people listening that know you probably from So You Think.
Yes.
They probably remember Mia like the, I mean, you were, look, let's just say you're my favorite judge, Mia, obviously. You are very, like, take no shit.
Yes.
And very hard on your dancers, but not in a way that's demeaning or critical, in a way that's very clear that you want them to be their best.
Yes.
So let's go back to even before that. And how did you get your start as a choreographer? How did you eventually get to So You Think?
Okay, so going back, let me see. Because I had access to my dad's studio, I had dancers at my fingertips. So I was constantly creating movement. I knew that I was supposed to be a choreographer when I'd be in class with my dad. He was my dance teacher. And I was always changing his steps. And then he'd be like, do it like her. And I was always like changing things. And so then I had the junior group, I had the junior company, the senior company, and I started creating choreography and pieces that then went to competitions like Dance Educators of America and Tremaine and all these conventions. And it was funny because I was the one that we'd go in and we would probably get disqualified most of the time because I was the time code. I was always overtime and I didn't care.
And at dance competitions, you have a limit.
You have a limit.
A small group can only be 2 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever that competition decides.
Right.
And so you were like, well, I want 3 minutes to tell my story.
Right. And I felt like it's artistry, and I felt like I needed to say what I needed to say. And sometimes it was controversial, and sometimes it was like just questionable. And so we would get disqualified pretty much all the time. And we didn't care because I was like their fearless leader, and we would come in there and people would like fear us because we were so fucking good. We were so good. The work was good. The kids were good. I trained these dancers like ninjas, and they were these artists and ninjas and unicorns. And then they were my instruments. So I just started creating all this stuff, and people would like, all I remember is we didn't care about the trophy. We cared about, you know, breaking pavement. We cared about like blowing people's minds, and that's what we did. And so people started seeing my work and was like, oh my God, what is that? Like, who is that? And I then came back and forth from New York. I knew that I would live in New York someday, and I was going back and forth, and I was trying to get a job at BDC and wanted to teach and wanted to choreograph, and they were like, no, sorry, you know. And I was like, no, really, like I'm a teacher. I'm like, and they're like, sorry, you know, but leave us your picture and resume. So I got a job downstairs at Sancha. I was selling ballet slippers to all the obnoxious ballerinas. And I got fired because I threw a toe shoe at somebody. I don't
what?
Know. Yes, yeah. Because she was so awful. I don't remember what her name was, but she was so awful, and she was yelling, and I just like threw the toe shoe at her feet, and I got fired. And then I went down to Broadway Dance Center, and I wound up doing some scholarship work. I was cleaning toilets. I was cleaning the studios at night. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I just wanted to be in New York City. I wanted to start my career, and I wanted to be around dancers. And so because I couldn't teach and choreograph, I was like, well, let me clean the studios. Let me do whatever it takes. And then at one point I had a moment where I was like, what am I doing? I have a studio at home back in Miami. I'm celebrated in Miami. What am I doing here? Went back, and literally a week later, Frank Hatchett called and was like, would you sub my classes? I've seen your work throughout the years. You're incredible. Would you come sub my classes? And I was back on a plane to New York City and I subbed his classes. And that was the beginning of everything. And I had had a company in Miami, and it was a very like celebrated young company. And then when I started teaching here, things started happening. I started getting on conventions, teaching LA Underground, Tremaine. I did all of them, Dance Alliance. And then I had my own company, Raw, in New York City with a lot of celebrated dancers, Ronnie Todorowski, Jason Parsons, Corinne McFadden,
Raw Iwana, was amazing.
Iwana Alfonso, like all of them. And they're all doing great stuff, you know? Mark Meesmer. Yeah, so crazy. I think back at that time. And that was the time I think that we were in the studio at BDC because they gave us free studio space. We were in the studio like at like 3 o'clock in the morning till like 6 in the morning because that's the time they gave us free studio space. And we'd be there with our Starbucks cups and drinking a lot of coffee and every night creating and creating and creating. And I feel like that's when Mia Michael's style was born as an artist. And then Madonna had heard about my company, and then she hired me to be one of the choreographers for the Drowned World Tour.
And how did that work out?
Terrible.
This is one of my favorite Mia stories. I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about it, but I always love that you're like, and then Madonna called, and then it didn't work out.
It was the worst collaboration ever. We just didn't get along. She just didn't like me, and I didn't like her. And so that was that. And
but then who called next?
But then Celine Dion, and it was Franco Dragone from Cirque du Soleil, and I honestly, after Madonna, I was like, okay, that was like, at that point, if you worked for Madonna, like, you arrived, you know, as a choreographer. And I was like, this is what it is? If this is what it is, I'm in the wrong business. Like, it was so devastating to me. It was really unhealthy. It was a very toxic environment. So I was like, I don't know. And then I went back to New York and I got a call from my agent saying I was up as one of the choreographers for the Celine Dion show in Vegas, directed by Franco Dragone, Cirque du Soleil creator. And then it cut down to, well, Franco feels like you are diverse. You have so much diversity that you can do the whole show by yourself. And I was like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? 2 weeks later, my furniture, my beat up old furniture was on the sidewalk, and my bags were packed with my dog, and I moved to Belgium for, I think we were there for like, I don't know, 6 months, and in a black box in the middle of nowhere in a cow field. And it was like 60 dancers were hired from all over the world. Created 11 and a half hours of material that are in the archives somewhere that I need to look for because
I need
feel
those.
Like I was on fire then too. And I just was like, oh my God, the things that I was like, I need 100 million pounds of baby powder the next day, like a dump truck. No, it was like that. Amazing. Like I need ropes to hang people like from their toes. Like, I mean, it was like, done. Like everything that I could possibly dream of was done.
And were you just given all the freedom in the world for that? Was it like, here's the soundtrack, go?
Yeah, well, not
so,
even.
And this was Celine Dion's A New Day show.
Yes.
Which, of course, went on to be like so highly regarded. Like,
it was the most one successful. For the ages. I think it was one of the most successful shows in Vegas. It made in 5 years $360 million profit. Like, it was one of.
I hope
of,
you got a lot of that.
I didn't, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I did not. But to be a part of that show, and it was just special. And working with him, I learned so much. He had to come into my life because, as an artist, I learned about the simplicity of movement and the eye of a child, and to look at movement simpler. Because when I started the show, it was all about vocabulary and complexity and phrases and layers and layers and layers as a choreographer. And sometimes that's too much. And like the normal human eye looks at it and appreciates it, but it means nothing. And then by me meeting our worlds colliding, me and Franco, and me learning about the simplicity of the humanness and the eye of a child, that gave me the tools to go on to So You Think You Can Dance. And that was actually the next show, that the next project I did. And so grateful, because when I look back, I had to meet Franco to learn that lesson in order to go on and become a storyteller on So You Think You Can Dance. Because if I would have not met Franco, it would have been a lot of concert dance with no heart and soul. And it was really interesting how that all evolved into this, like moving pictures in stories and human stories and So You Think You Can Dance. And so that's how that all happened. And it just kind of one thing led to the next, to the next, to the next. Then I did film. Then I did Rock of Ages, which is a big musical film. Got that out of my system. Then I went on to do Finding Neverland, a Broadway show. Got that out of my system.
Let's not forget that you were also in films. I believe it was Step Up 4, Step Up Revolution.
Yes.
You were in.
I did.
As an actress.
I did.
But let's not yet move on from Celine Dion. I just need to hear about Celine Dion a little bit. Can you just tell
how
me a little bit?
How amazing she is and how what a unicorn she is.
Tell me about Celine Dion.
She's incredible. She is everything that you think she is, she is. She is so awesome. Her sense of humor. She has the mouth like a truck driver. I love it so much. She is so real and so giving, and she took such great care of her team and her dancers and her musicians. Just so much love, joy. She's light. And that voice, I can't, just being around her, she's just amazing. Like, Celine Dion is definitely one of my all-time favorites, and just love her. Yeah. She's so special.
Oh, Celine, we love you. I mean, she's obviously listening, so Celine, hello. It's your greatest fans. But it was from that show that then Nigel called.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So did you know Nigel before that? Because Nigel's been in the dance industry for a long time as well. Did you know who he was?
No.
So you were like, this guy wants me to be on this reality show.
Yes.
And were you like, yeah, I've always wanted to do reality TV.
I never wanted to do reality television. And so when I got called, I was like, that's interesting, but I don't think I want to do it. And then when I found out, like, they were the producers of American Idol, you know, their track record was really good. And so I'm like, do I want to do this? Is this right? And so then I decided I would do it and try it out. And if I didn't like it, I wouldn't continue. And, you know, I got brought on as, like, the contemporary one to start that show with everyone. And we kind of created the show from the ground up. We all had our say in it. And do this way. Try doing this way. Nigel would be like, what do you think about that? So we all kind of built the show together. And then I was on it for, what, 8 years, I guess? 8 years, 8, 9 years. Important. The world, I guess the world had to get to meet me, you know, and I got to do a lot of really important work on that show that really helped others and affected people's lives. And so,
do you want me to get on your table and recreate the bench with sunflower? I could do that. I don't know where the bed is. I could jump on it with rose petals. I could do that one if there's a door, like, let me know. But I mean, your work did. It changed the dance world. The word contemporary was not, like, a word that people used before that. But it also, I feel like, brought Mia Michaels to a level of celebrity that was exciting. Was that ever the goal? Because I think there's a difference between wanting to be a dancer and a choreographer, obviously, in terms of the job. But were you ever like, Mia Michaels, I want to be famous?
No. No, I wanted to be a great artist. That was my goal, is to be a great choreographer. I didn't care about being famous. In fact, when I started getting, you know, recognized in public and this and that, I was so uncomfortable. I would always have my head down because I never wanted to make eye contact with people, because as soon as that you see people they recognize you, that gave them the door in to be like, oh my God, hey, da da da. And you know, I'm a private person, so it was hard for me to adjust to that. I have my friends, you know, like, you know, Tice and Brian, all these people, they love that. That's something that they especially Brian. Brian wants to be famous. Like, he, you know, he loves that.
It's a natural.
It is. Spotlight. It's natural for him. I think Tice, too. He likes to be in front of the camera. So, you know, for me, it was just like I had to get used to it. And I was also the person that was loved and loved to be hated, too. So it was very, I had a lot of you know, people that hated me and loved me. And so it was, I just kind of was like, okay, well, I'm not going to care. And I'm just going to do my thing and be the artist that I needed to be. And it's interesting now, because now it's not about being a great artist. It's about serving and inspiring the world, which is a very interesting thing. It's kind of come back around for me as a teacher and inspirational person. So that's where my life is kind of moving now, which we'll get into. But
so when you say loved to be hated, do you have thick skin when
yes.
it comes to your work? You do?
Yes.
So when you were on So You Think, were there moments of like, not backlash, but like criticism, or you know, we just live in a world where, especially with the internet, everyone wants to have a voice and a say. I look at your work and I'm like, everything was brilliant and perfect. Hmm. Were there times that it wasn't as well received, either from the show, dancers, viewers, or any type of negative feedback that you got? Or about you?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, everybody has an opinion, right? So. Hmm. You know, the work isn't good enough, or this person's better. That was a big popular one. Oh, you know, you're not as good as Travis, and this and that, and you're this person's better than you, and da da da. And you just have to be like, oh my God, you can't care, and you know, you can't care, because it's all someone's opinion. You know, oh, you're too fat to be on television, or you're ugly, or you look like a troll, or I mean, it was just one thing after another. So, you know, you do have to ignore it, because people can be very, very cruel. And so you just have to kind of just stay on course and keep your focus on why you're there.
So tell me about, before we move on from So You Think, tell me about show highlights. What were your favorite dancers you worked with, favorite pieces you did? What like most stands out when you remember your time on So You Think?
It all is one big blur.
Like everyone remembers the bench dance, because that was so early on.
Yeah, I mean.
Is that a favorite of yours?
No, not at all. It's so silly, because it's like, for me, it's like, I won my first Emmy with that, and I'm like, why?
Why was that one, do you think? Was it because contemporary was so new at the time, or what do you think?
I think what happened with that piece is it changed, it changed the game a little bit. It changed dance on television. That piece, not because it was such a brilliant piece of choreography, it told a story in a very, very human and honest way that hadn't been done before. And it was almost like a moving portrait for television in how to speak through the body with natural and organic movements of the human spirit and the human body. And I think it changed television in that moment. And I think that's why everybody was like, holy shit, because it was one of those things, as simple as it was, it had a lot of power and a lot of innovation behind it, because nobody had told a story like that, mm-hmm. or done a dance piece like that. So, you know, I just kind of follow my instincts. I didn't set out to do that. I just kind of was like, okay, cool. I was bored by making dance steps. I was bored by being a choreographer of complex movement. And so I was like, I want to do something different. And I explored, and it worked. You know, and that's kind of how that happened. And I just was like, I want to explore telling the story through a little bit more natural human movement instead of dancer movement.
Mm-hmm. The other one that stands out to me is Gravity.
Yeah.
With Kayla and Capono.
Yeah.
Which, like, that one I still, for like on a Friday night, if I'm having a glass of wine, I'm like, why don't I just watch that on
it's
YouTube?
Filthy. It is. That one is like, it makes me, like, it's so filthy. It's filthy because it's
like
heavy.
Someone, it's like you rip into my, like, gut and just kind of throw it out. And you're just like, this is how I'm going to make you feel right now.
That was an intense piece. I remember the moment when I went into the studio, I knew that I was going to create a piece about this addiction. And I had a feeling that it was way bigger than the show. And it was way bigger than me or the dancers. There was something that was inside of me that was trying to come out that was very important. And I kept telling the dancers that, don't take this lightly. There's something really big about to happen with this piece. And I just really knew that. And I remember when it came out, and it was very, like, I remember watching it, and like that whole part when the hand over the whole thing.
And the layout.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a really, it's gruesome. it's grotesque. You know what I mean? It's grotesque. And I remember watching it going, oh my God. Oh my God. But because it affected me like that, I knew it was right. And I knew it was honest, and it was very raw, and it was very honest. And I knew it was right. No matter how uncomfortable it was to watch it, it was right. You know?
So you went from working on, I mean, of course, A New Day was huge. You had 60 dancers, but you went from having a couple months, right, to create that show to now being on So You Think, where you have like an hour and a half, basically.
Yeah.
What is that like in terms of, how does the process work? Can you walk us through it? Is it like, all right, this week you have Travis and Heidi and go? Or what is the turnaround like?
Well, I haven't been on the show in so many years.
What was it like?
I'm trying to remember.
From back Thursday.
It was very, what I would do is I would have a journal and I would have a list of music that had the potential of being music that I would use for the season. And then I would have some concepts, some ideas, some stories, you know, kind of tucked away that I wanted to do. And then we'd find out, I believe it was the night, I would know, shoot, I don't
They used
remember.
To draw out of the hat
yes.
at the end of the episode.
Yes, yes. And so what would happen is we would have certain music cleared, and I would have like three different ideas running mm-hmm. around. So whoever I got, then I would tailor it to them. And then what would happen is the next day, I would be in the studio with my assistants, and I would be creating the movement on them, knowing who I have, so mm-hmm. keep them in mind, so I'd be tailoring it to them. And then, because I needed that time to flesh it out, and then because we only had like 2.5-3 hours with the dancers, so I needed creatively the creative process to get it out, to just kind of look at it and see as a whole if it worked. And then we'd set it on the dancers. And so, yeah, that was my process. That's what worked for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would think that's very hard to just be able to choreograph really fast. And was that ever a challenge, or are your creative juices just constantly flowing and you can just kind of...
No, I don't choreograph fast. It takes me a while because I'm such a perfectionist and just needed to, like... I need to always dig in and then go, okay, how do I, now, usually it's like the sixth or seventh layer of choreography is where I start to like it.
Okay.
But the foundation of it is just foundation, and then I start building from there.
And then how critical would you be when you would see it on being performed either from the audience or on TV?
It depends. Sometimes they were great. Like that moment with Addiction was like, that was intense and it was amazing and it couldn't have been any better. I don't think it could have been any better. Yeah. It was just like... same with the Bench piece. That moment, it was like kind of as simple as it was just perfectly portrayed. The moment I said it, that group number with Danny Tidwell, that was one of those moments. And that piece was very interesting because I was really inspired by the music, by Imogen Heap stuff. And I was so excited about getting into the room and getting it out that I literally ran up on stage with all the dancers. I had assistants there, but they were like waiting for me to tell them what to do. And they just sat there. And I just literally created the entire piece in 2 hours. I was like this vortex of like craziness. I was like, it was very cool. That piece is very cool.
So let's talk about Finding Neverland. You eventually left So You Think. You were there for a bunch of seasons.
Yeah.
So eventually you left the show to go do more creative things. What was next for you?
I did the film Rock of Ages with Tom Cruise.
Yes. And let's talk about it. You love Tom Cruise.
I love Tom Cruise. I'm obsessed. I love him. I think he's incredible. He's an incredible artist and actor and man. I love him.
And he's full out.
Like, he would come through the door every day, and he would rehearse hours and hours and hours every day. He was, like, insatiable. And he was, you talk about a ninja, he'd come through the doors, let's do this, like, and we're all like, whoa, like,
he was
Tom's here. He would like run in with his cowboy boots and he was like in it, and it was just so awesome. And he was another one that, you know, touched my life in a way that really, you know, people are always like, oh, he's difficult, and people always say that I'm difficult. And, you know, what we had in common is why I think we loved each other so much, is that it's all about being the optimal you and constantly digging and constantly trying to be better as an artist and like go to the unknown spaces and really, really do the work. Really, really roll your sleeves up and do the work. And that's how I am and that's how he is. And so we really got along well, and our friendship, you know, was amazing. And he trusted me, and he's Tom Cruise, and there's a reason why he's Tom Cruise, because he is a great, great actor. He's a great artist, and he doesn't take one moment for granted. He rings out every single moment of his life, and I think that is so awesome. And as an artist too, it's like, how can I take this scene to the next level? How can I take my character choices to the next level? You know, so it's always about, he never was comfortable. He was never comfortable, and I just admire that so much. And so yeah, it was definitely a love fest between us, for sure.
How much freedom did you have when choreographing Rock of Ages? Because, of course, the Broadway musical came first.
Yes.
So was it like, all right, we want you to base this off of the musical? Or was it totally, because you didn't choreograph the Broadway show, of course. So was it just go, Mia?
Yeah. And Adam Shankman directed it. Right. And so he was a friend of mine, and he was just like, do your thing. And I did. And I had so much fun. And it was back in Miami, where I was born and raised. And I just had a blast. And it was something I hadn't, you know, touched before. There was a lot of sexuality, a lot of stripper work, a lot of, you know, pole stuff. And it was interesting, because it just, I, again, went into this unknown space and let myself go wild. And it was really fun. So it was really fun.
Everything you do has the best soundtrack, too. Yeah. Celine, Rock of Ages, like, that's still my, like, go-to running mix when I'm out. It's so good.
So good.
And then what was next? And don't glaze over Step Up. I feel like you're going to skip it, but I want to talk about Step Up Revolution.
Okay, let's step about it. Let's step up about it. Let's step up.
Step Up, I am a fan of the Step Up franchise.
Okay.
Just because I'm a fan of, like, more people seeing dance, ultimately. And when it comes to Step Up, I'm less interested in the plot. I'm more interested in the movement. And the movement in Step Up Revolution was excellent.
Yeah.
But you were on camera. What was your character's
Olivia
name?
Olivia Winwood.
I can't even remember.
She sounds intense. I can't even believe I remember her name. Like, that just came
out. We could have IMDb'd it. We would have found it. So how did that come about? Were you like, I want to be on the other side of the camera? Or were they like, Mia, you're doing a great job just doing your job. We're going to film you doing it. Because the role is
me.
A dance teacher holding auditions. Choreographer,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Adam is the producer of it. So he was like, since we're all in Miami and we're shooting Step Up, and we're looking, he goes, I think you'd be perfect for this. Would you go in for it? And I was like, I've never acted in my life. Are you sure? And he's like, you're just being you, really. And I was like, are you sure? And then I asked Tom, and I was like, Tom, am I doing? He's like, yeah, you're doing.
Because who doesn't consult Tom Cruise before making big life decisions? It's like, I'm always like, oh, should I write this story?
Let me call Tom. And he was like, oh my God, you have to do it. And so, and I think it came at perfect timing, because I had spent a whole summer working with Tom Cruise with his craft and looking at how he analyzes everything and how he goes about it. So I felt like, well, if I hadn't learned even a little bit of how to approach a scene and how to get into character development, I mean, I've just spent 3 months with Tom Cruise, so I was like, you know what? Let me explore this. Maybe I believe that things happen for a reason, and I believe that kind of came into my lap for a reason. So I was like, as scared as I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I loved it. I absolutely loved acting. I never did it again. Never was asked again, so I don't know how that went. But I loved it. It was really, really intense for me, and it was scary. And I love putting myself in places that scare the shit out of me. So that was.
And you got to move a little bit on camera. You got to do a little bit of dancing.
I
feel like you did some, like, with Catherine McCormick, who of course was the lead female in that film. I feel like you did some, like, helping her with her movement on camera.
Did I? I don't remember.
I don't know. We should watch it. We'll watch that. We'll watch Celine on DVD. We have to plan a whole movie night.
Right?
Okay. So we talked about Step Up. I feel.
Oh, you feel good?
I feel fulfilled.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I would like to see you back on camera, because I enjoy having Mia on my TV screen.
Thank you. You're the second person today that has told me that they want me back on camera and they want me back on the television screen.
Yes.
My yoga teacher was like, I really feel that you need to be back on TV. And he's like, I really want you back on TV. I think that you as a judge needs to be back on camera.
Would you go back on So You Think if Nigel asked you? Or is that a closed
chapter? As a judge and mentor, yes. Not as a choreographer.
Okay, why?
I feel like I'm moving out of that right now. I feel like I'm really moving into other places right now in my life, and choreography is not my main focus right now. It might be something that I'm just kind of taking a little bit of a break from. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for 30 plus years. Like 38 years I've been doing choreography. So for me, I need a minute from being a choreographer, and I need to explore all these other things that I'm working on right now. So that's not to say that in a year or two that I might not come back stronger and better than ever as a choreographer.
It'll always be there for you.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. I don't think is going anywhere, hopefully. No. So then going back to when you told me you always have your next dream, I remember one of your dreams being you wanted to direct.
Yes.
So you didn't just direct, you directed Radio City.
I know. That's the funny thing about my career.
Mia doesn't go small.
I don't go small on anything. Nothing. Everything I do is like epic. And I start
the biggest kick line in the world, casual.
But before that, like I went into Finding Neverland.
Yes.
And that was my first Broadway experience, and working with Diane Polis and Harvey Weinstein and all
Matthew
these amazing
Morrison.
Matthew Morris and Kelsey Grammer. It was really intense and really, you know, I learned a lot about collaboration and learned a lot about Broadway. So that was a very interesting journey for me. And then from that is when I got called to do the Radio City Rockettes show. And they wanted me to reinvent the Rockettes, mm-hmm. the brand of the Rockettes. And I did.
That's a big task. That's a big ask, I should say. Rebrand the Rockettes.
Like, yeah, because you've
been
around since 1930-something.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really about like keeping, you know, all due respect to the brand and to keep it intact, keep the brand intact, but push it to 2017. And what would that look like, you know? So on the show, directed, choreographed, I had my hands in designing the costumes. I did all the video mapping. I produced the music. I did everything. The only thing that I didn't do was the book. That was kind of a forced marriage. I love the writer, but it wasn't the right, for me, it wasn't the right story for that.
And the book in Broadway or Radio City speak, that's the written part
of it. The story. And I don't think that Radio City needs a book. I think mm-hmm. that it needed a thread. And I think that, you know, the producers forced the book on me. And I went screaming and kicking the whole way, because I knew in my heart that we didn't need a book. We needed a thread. And I think that was, you know, to me, one of the weakest parts of the show. And I think that if there, you know, we would ever done the show again, I think it needed to be that. And because I thought, you know, the creative direction of it, the visuals of it and the music, I thought was so strong and lovely. And it really celebrated the girls. And I thought that it brought the girls to a current place as the Rockettes, you know. But that's me. I don't know. Everybody, you know, feels differently about it. So, you know.
How was it working with the Rockettes? Because that's a very different set of dancer than you're used to.
It was very mathematical.
Right.
And I had the girls that, like, I called them the Rockette Whisperers. And there's three girls who basically, I didn't have a lot of interaction with the Rockettes, because what would happen is I would bring my team in and I would bring their team in. I would choreograph the I'd choreograph the piece, then I'd work on the staging and on a piece of paper with the Rockette Whisperers, and then they would set it on the first 16 girls, and then I'd look at it, and I would tweak here and there. Okay, I don't like this. Let's try this. Da da da. Once we got that, then they'd go and teach it to the next. Then they'd add the next 16. So then it was 36, 32, 32, 32. 32.
Right. I don't know.
Yes, 32. and then we would look at it. And so I didn't really have direct access to them, mm-hmm. but because I had my hands in everything.
And there's more than just the Rockettes in a Radio City show. There's
the ensemble
and
the musicians,
dancers.
The orchestra. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, there was a whole, and then there was the actors, and then it was huge.
Sounds like a lot of work, to be honest.
It was so big. I remember on opening night, they were like, "What? So tell me about the show." I was like, "It's so big." That's all I could say. I was like, like, it's so big. Like, everything about it was gigantic. It felt, the whole thing was like Jurassic Park. It was so big. But I loved it, and it was like a giant $50 million playground for me. I had so much fun, but you know, you are also in a corporate world. So there's that, mm-hmm. and then you have to like kind of, you know, I'm like the bad girl. I'm like the rebel. I've always been the bad girl. And so hiring me and putting me into a corporate world was, you know, risky for them. And you know, they asked me to do something. I did it. But I think that at the end of the day, I don't know if, you know, they liked the change. I think that they like their Christmas show.
Yeah.
And I think they're very traditional. And I think they thought that they wanted something fresh and new, but I think that they really don't. I think they want to just stay in the Christmas world.
But at least
they
tried.
They tried.
And you were amazing.
And I had fun. It was a life changer. Yeah, it certainly was.
You've also become a published author.
Yes.
Tell the world the name of your book, which is my favorite title of a book ever.
A Unicorn in a World of Donkeys.
Tell me about that.
It's about standing in your uniqueness and celebrating who you are without trying to conform. And you know, it goes back to, you're born a legend. Stand in that, celebrate that. Don't try to be like anyone else. Don't try to look like anyone else, you know, be you. And it's really fun. It's a very fun and inspirational book. It has a lot of my life stories, but it also has like unicorn spottings, and it's like, you know, different stories of like, you know, Bowie and Gaga and Albert Einstein and all these, you know, unicorns and their philosophy. And it all is the same philosophy, just worded differently. So it's very cool. It's super cool.
And just launched.
Yes.
Mia Michaels Live. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank
you. I feel like you've been talking about this for a while now.
Yes.
So what is Mia Michaels Live?
Mia Michaels Live is a monthly subscription master series classes as well as a mentorship program. And you have three different packages, or you can do single master classes or single mentorship, you know, sessions. I'm building a community. I call it my unicorn community. And it is basically like, I have MSA, which is one of the biggest dance agencies in the world. They're my, their exclusive agency for the site, which will be scouting dancers and choreographers.
That's amazing.
Amazing. And helping, it's for dancers, choreographers, dance teachers, studio owners. And it's basically helping them really take their craft to the next level. And there is building a community. And there's challenges. So like every month there's like a dancer challenge and a choreographer challenge and then a studio challenge. So it's like, then what happens is it becomes Artist of the Month. Then it goes into Artist of the Year. And I can't tell you what the prize is. So.
Okay, we'll check back. We'll do we'll do a follow up episode live from Mia Michaels.
Yes,
live.
For sure. And it's, you know what's so cool is that it's just the foundation. I mean, it's a baby business, but it's the foundation of where I want to go. I want to create a world. Also, I want to open it up to non dancers, because I eventually see myself as like the Tony Robbins of, you know, bringing movement to the mainstream and getting people on their feet and creating a love letter to themselves through movement and motivation. And so that whole world is also kind of circling around me right now as well. So
I love that. Have you been to a Tony Robbins event?
I'm going this summer.
Are you going to the one in New Jersey?
Yes.
I have it on my calendar.
Are
I
you
have not
go?
Bought tickets. So I went to his event in LA in 2012. So I've done Unleash the Power Within.
Is it amazing?
It's amazing. It's unreal. You would love it.
Wow.
You're going to love it.
I'm excited.
Say.
You know, and I just feel
it's
like
a good
there's not
personal investment.
A motivational speaker out there that would do it the way I do it, because I would get them, because I think human movement is so healing and nurturing. And so she's such a cornball.
She's like, oh, I see a camera. I'm ready.
Hi,
yeah,
sweet
you're so
girl.
Sweet, Lily. You're being perfect.
Look at her unicorn spot on her head, where the unicorn horn lives.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's
a
true.
And look at her spotted ear. Are you part cow?
She's a cow unicorn.
Ear. Oh my.
She's a cow pig unicorn.
How do you even handle this face?
I can't. I work from home and I love it so much because I have her.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of your career highlights, of which there are many, and half we didn't even touch on, but you've had a very remarkable career. Have you had any remarkable failures? I feel like we always talk about the Mia Michaels highlight reel. Has there been anything in your career that you look back on and you're like, that either didn't work out for me, or you weren't happy with the outcome, or...
I mean, there were, of course. Madonna was one of them. Mm-hmm. Some of the pieces on So You Think, they weren't all that great. There was some people, and you just kind of like, yeah, there was some things there. Yeah, I mean, I think I even just had a, I had an experience just recently. I did this commercial. I won't say the name. It's, you know, with a celebrity, and it wasn't her because she's a friend of mine, and she, it was amazing. She's light and amazing. But the production and the people, the agents, the ad agents and the this and that, and it was like 2 weeks of hell because they didn't know how to communicate. They had no organizational skills. It was, right?
Yeah, Lily hated it too.
Awful.
Did that stress you out?
It was awful. And I remember walking out of there. Wow. I remember walking out of there feeling like, you know, I failed because they gave me four dancers from Europe that, not even dancers, not even models. They were just four women that, I know, horrible. And it took 2 weeks to actually, wow.
Lily, you're amazing. I know. She's like, we don't talk about our failures in this house.
We this like is to a keep unicorn it empire. We don't talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll get back to the good stuff. Yeah. Would that make you happy?
What was I saying? That
failure.
Last...
Oh, the commercial.
Yeah. So basically, it was just a couple weeks ago, but I believe that every failure is success because you learn something from it, and you learn things that you would never do again, or you learn lessons, or you learn things that you could, you know. And so for me, it was like, I'm doing all this stuff on my own right now. I'm really being an entrepreneur and a businesswoman right now and creating all these different businesses. I have a plus size fitness line coming out for women. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yes!
So there's just a lot of stuff. I'm on the cover of Mirabella this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's all about self-love, you know, at any size and at any age. And so that's been really cool for me. So when I was doing this thing in LA and it was such a huge failure for me, I was like, what am I doing here? It was just a reminder. Like, what am I doing here? I'm supposed to be really, it just kind of reminded me that I'm not supposed to be gigging anymore. I'm not a gigster. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so much more than that. And I realized that. And so the lessons, or it's the universe saying, you need to be doing this. What are you doing? You know, so I believe it just tells us we learn lessons from all our failures. And I think it's a good thing. So I embrace the failures because I become a better person from them.
What would you go back and tell 8-year-old Mia, who was not comfortable in her skin, and her friend Susan, because probably Susan is
ew,
hanging out
Susan.
With her.
Ew, she was so basic.
When did you get rid of Susan? At what point were you like, Susan, I don't need you anymore?
I think when
or
I...
Or is she here? Like, is Susan...
No, I'm okay. Not that weird. I'm weird, but I'm not that weird. No, Susan doesn't... She was only like when I was like really young, and I... But once I... Yeah. Why are you so whiny?
She wants to play. You're trying so hard to communicate. You're such a good girl.
I would say like 8, 7, 8. I think she was gone. I think she...
Okay, so not Susan.
Flew the coop.
What would you go back and tell 8-year-old Mia, who was finding her way?
Enjoy life more. Make space. Make space for not only for your career... But there's room for everything in your life. And I think that to me was the biggest lesson I've learned, is that not happiness doesn't rely on success.
You're right, Lily.
Happiness is not about success. Happiness is about having a full and juicy, wonderful life. And I think that to me was something I had to learn. And it took me a long time to get there, but I finally did. And I'm very grateful for that.
I can tell. It makes me so happy. All right, so before we get into our lightning round, because you know that I'm going to ask, what's next? What's the next dream, goal, plan?
The next thing I'm really, really focused on building MML into this very a global portal for inspiration and movement for the world. That is something that is my baby, and it's my business, and it's something I'm very excited about to inspire the world. The other thing, I just signed on as artistic director of the Joffrey.
Joffrey, yes.
Yes, as for the contemporary and jazz program. So I'm going to really, really focus on building that. That and then branding, just branding, you know, really focus on the entrepreneurship of who Mia Michaels is, the brand of Mia Michaels, so that I can really inspire others and women and just in dancers and just people. And that to me is I'm really excited about the idea of giving back and serving right now. That to me is my biggest, that's my focus right now. And so what comes of that, who knows? But it's a very exciting time because it's not about me. It's not about me as an artist. It's about everyone else and me inspiring others and giving back and just making a difference in the world. And that to me is exciting.
So now when I do this with runners, I call it the sprint to the finish round. Well, I guess in dance terms, this would either be like, maybe this is the recital, it's the grand finale.
Okay.
It's the encore.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, it's all kinds of things. So,
let's go.
Mia.
Yes.
What would your last meal on earth be?
Pasta, a huge thing of pasta at Carbone. Carbone is my favorite Italian restaurant. It's a huge, it's rigatoni alla vodka. I can't take it. That and this bottle of wine that they have, it's a dark rosé. Okay, go.
Okay. Let's just go get that. Screw this round. We're going to get pasta. We're going to call Tom Cruise. He's going to come. Celine, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a party.
Pasta for everyone. Favorite movie?
Oh, God. Devil Wears Prada.
Great one. I thought you were going to say Step Up Revolution, so that was a curveball. What about favorite dance movie?
I love The Turning Point.
Greatest fear?
Not evolving.
I knew you were going to say. I knew yours wasn't going to be snakes. I knew it was going to be like a deeper
Yeah.
Thing. Okay. Mine's hairless cats, so we're like...
Hairless cats?
Yeah.
They're like what's the point?
They look disgusting. Oh, look at her.
Look at her.
You have a buddy? She's like, well, you guys weren't giving me attention, so.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a go-to mantra on tough days or when tough situations arise?
I kind of do the three breaths and the slow exhale, and I always find that that connects you to a higher source, and you immediately get clear, and you get in sync. And I like the I am that's tattooed on my neck. I am that I am. No apologies. Being fearless and unapologetic.
How would you describe yourself in three words?
Big, bold, badass bitch.
More than three,
big,
are good.
Bold, beautiful. Big, bold, and beautiful.
I love those. And I'm a sucker for alliteration, so that was
great.
I appreciate
That's
that.
What it is.
What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
I check my phone.
What is the last thing you do before you close your eyes at night?
I check my phone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and that's not what I would like to say. I would like to say the first thing I'd like to do, so I'm just saying it, is prayer or meditate. And the last thing I would like to do is kiss Lily on her face.
Do you let her sleep in bed?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I let my dog in too. Okay, this is a big question. Do you have a favorite piece you've ever choreographed?
No. Yeah, it's hard because I think there are moments that I like, but as a whole, I've never really gone like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Do you have a least favorite?
Those I probably throw in the garbage.
Block from memory. Favorite season of So You Think You Can Dance?
La 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 la. Which is Twitch's season?
Four.
Season yeah. four.
He's the best.
That was the best
Twitch,
season
if you're listening, we want you on the show. We love you. Allison can come too. What is your go-to breakfast?
I like right now is the egg bites at Starbucks. They have baked egg bites. They're so good. Those are good on the run. I'm a big coffee drinker, so.
Well, good. Starbucks is literally 3 feet from your front door.
I know.
You picked a good spot to live. Favorite day of the week?
Fridays.
Oh, that's today. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's your happy place?
Home with Lily.
Where is somewhere you're dying
on
to
this
travel?
Couch with Lily. Yes. Aww.
Lily's couch.
Lily's couch.
Where is somewhere you're dying to travel?
I want to go to, and this is just somewhere that I want to go soon, is St. Bart's, because I hear it's just beautiful. I'm going to go to Berlin this summer.
Ooh,
so I've never
work,
been there.
For vacation?
Just for like 2 week vacation, then go to Vienna. I haven't been there either. So I'd love to go on a safari in Africa.
Who was your childhood celebrity crush?
Oh, Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was like it for me.
Okay, and this is the loaded question.
And the guy from Chips, Eric Estrada, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Those two. You can tell I like...
Dreamboats. Okay, you're hosting a dinner party. You get to have 5 guests. Who are they?
Lily. My boyfriend. Fosse.
Bob Fosse.
He'd be fun. He'd be so fun. He'd do his like little hip rolls.
And then you only bring in entertainment because you're set.
Sting. I want Sting here. And I would love Meryl Streep.
That's a pretty dope dinner party.
That's really dope, right?
Yeah, how can I get involved? I'll be the waitress. I'll do whatever, but I would love to be at that dinner party. That sounds amazing.
Well, Lily's just a given, right? So you can take her place, and then Lily's just part
she's
of me.
On my lap, so
she's,
so we don't need another chair. We're set.
Look at she's
on her face. She's like, are you guys done? I've been such a good girl.
Hi,
no one has
girl.
Thrown the ball for me in so long. Lily, you've been perfect. And Mia, you have been amazing.
Thank you
so much for doing this. Oh, good girl. You knew it's time to be done.
Hi.
All right. This is Lily, Allie, and Mia
signing off.
Thank you so much, Mia, for joining me on this episode of the Allie on the Run show. And thank you, Lily, for chiming in too. And of course, thank you for listening. I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you are, I would so love if you would head on over to iTunes to leave a rating and review for the show. I know it sounds like a lot of work, but to leave a rating, you just click on the number of stars you think the show deserves. 5 is the best. And if you think it deserves a 1-star review, hit me up first so we can chat. I'd love to know what you want more of, what you're loving, what you're maybe not loving, or what I can do as your friendly neighborhood podcast host to make this the best show ever for you. So how do you hit me up for feedback? Well, there are so many ways. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at AllieOnTheRun1. You can contact me through my blog, AllieOnTheRunBlog.com, or you can and should like and follow the Allie on the Run Facebook page. I will see you right back here next week. And until then, thanks for joining me on the run.